Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:41 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 8th. I'm a little late in my scheduling today, so I'm recording the audio, but I will not be posting comment of the day for at least another couple of hours. I spent most of the morning down at the port in Los Angeles. Mrs. Tracy's containers have arrived from China. We were going through the customs process. And I like to do that myself because I want to go down and just take a sampling of the atmosphere in the customs warehouses, just take a look around, get a first-hand perspective on just how busy things are. I've never been happier that I've been doing this for the last 4 years, because at least I have something to compare my experience today against. And what I saw today, I've never seen before. It's that usually the large warehouse that we use for our customs broking and customs clearance is extremely busy. They have 10 forklift drivers zooming around. You have to be very careful, because if you're over the yellow line, you're going to get hit. Today, there were two, and they were slow. There was no panic going on. It was extraordinarily slow in terms of business. I had no problem with any kind of delay. There's usually a wait at the window to pay fees. There is. It was the most seamless process I've ever seen at the custom clearance, because there was nobody else there. It was like a ghost town. And that has got to suggest. I talked to a couple of the workers that were just hanging around. Again, I've never had that opportunity because they're always so busy. They said that it's been like that for nearly 2 months, that there is just so little business going through the warehouse. Now, when you look at the imports of 40-foot containers, or I think it's 20-foot containers here, you can see that there's a great cyclicality to it. But perhaps the most important point is that the last time this was updated was in August. It's updated with a 1 week lag, so we're going to get an update pretty soon. It does tend to peak in November. It peaked in October last year, and what we've seen is that it pulled back a little in August. If what I saw today is any measure, and based upon the testimony that I received from some of the people there, this is going to be a disappointing figure that's reported next time round. There is the real potential that we're going to get a growth shock. I think that is starting to get priced into the markets now. When we look at what's been going on in terms of the global economy, the Dow Jones, for example, today was down about 300 points. This is a very long-term chart. I don't need it going all the way back to 1900. 2010 will certainly suffice. When we think about the fact that the market has been pretty much going sideways for about 20 months, and it is now right back in the region of the trend mean. There has been a sequence of higher reaction lows within the range, and we had a pretty emphatic bounce from the region of the trend mean last week. The most important point is that it has to at least hold support. One point that I have been making, particularly with regard to the S&P 500, is that this sequence of higher reaction lows is really quite impressive, but that when we think about the secular bull market and the outlook for the wider, or for I guess longer term perspective, then it's the 1,000-day moving average tends to be a very important area of potential support. That was certainly the case in 2011. It was again the case in 2016. It was again the case in 2018. But we have definitely seen a loss of momentum This is about where, if we're going to see support coming through, it needs to start to occur. I've been very much of the opinion that we are more likely than not to get a bubble phase, but I'm starting to doubt whether that is in fact going to be the case, considering the slowdown that I saw at the Los Angeles port in here today. If the consumer has been the primary motive force behind the US economy and the global economy over the course of the last few years, then it does appear that the trade war is finally starting to bite. And then the question is, are we going to see a greater incentive to come to a deal or to some form of accommodation? And we certainly just don't know the answer to that question. And that is now starting to get priced into markets. The NASDAQ, for example, has a short-term sequence of lower rally highs. It had the upside key on Thursday, followed through on the upside on Friday. It hasn't quite broken the sequence of lower rally highs. It needs to continue to hold this sequence of higher reaction lows to avoid a much deeper process of correction. The one thing that we saw all the way back in 2006 and 7 was that we did get a really quite impressive rebound after the yield curve became inverted and the market rallied about another 30%. Then it started to lose momentum. It pulled back rather violently, rather thinking more about the 40-week or 200-day rather than the 200-week moving average. The most important point was that when it did pull back in the beginning of this year and then potentially breaks down, that's what we saw back in 2008. It broke down, ranged, and it was really not very far below the range. People were still questioning whether it was a top formation. We had a period almost 6 months in duration of ranging below the peak. It encountered resistance in the region, the trend mean subsequently broke down and then crashed later in the year. Well, when we think about what's going on now, this is a very important area of potential support. Now, when we think about some of the indices that have been doing best, well, the semiconductors index was in negative territory today. That's a direct response to the amplification of the pressure being put on Chinese technology shares, and there is obviously going to be some form of reciprocal move. Apple is obviously at risk from that. Of course, they also manufacture in China, but it was in negative territory in here today, but not in an especially dynamic manner. Now, when we think about what are the things that are likely to do better as uncertainty increases, well, gold has pushed back above the $1,500 area, and it remains really quite steady. Producer prices came in considerably below expectations in here today, so that acted as a support for the treasury markets. Considering the fact that the activity at the ports is trending downwards and is, I mean, the people that I talked to said that they hadn't seen anything, any kind of slowness at the port like this in years. Well, that does suggest that the bull market in bonds may persist a while longer. When we look at the 10-year yield, we had a very significant pop on the upside in early September. The sequence of lower rally highs, however, remains intact, and so does the sequence of ranges, one below another. So this area around 1.5% really does need to hold if we are at a peak of more than short-term significance for the rally that we've had in bonds. If we do see further deflationary forces, then there is the increasing potential that we're going to see the Federal Reserve cut interest rates again. The most important point to bear in mind is that The yield curve inversion was very mild, but it was an inversion. The most important point to remember is that it isn't until the yield curve is spiking higher that there is a clear and present danger of a recession. So that isn't quite being priced in by the bond markets just yet, but it is worth keeping a closer eye on this. And I think that this is also a time to be particularly disciplined about stops. There is still the potential that that markets are going to react positively to additional infusions of liquidity, and it is really very likely that we're going to see additional infusions of liquidity. The gold market in particular is likely to benefit from that. And then I think when we look at the silver price, well, it was up 25 cents in here today. At least this is confirming at least near-term significance, or near-term lows in the region of the $17 area. Platinum prices had pulled back more than either silver or gold, and now they are steadying from the region of the trend mean. When we think about the copper price, it's not called Dr. Copper for nothing, and it was pulling back from the $2.60 area in here today. The whole furore that we're seeing about the comments by, I think it was the head coach of I really don't know the name of the team, even though they're a Los Angeles team. It was the Los Angeles Rockets. And how that has embroiled the entire NBA, or NBA, in a controversy with China, where Chinese companies are pulling sponsorship left and right. Well, the problem is, and I really do think this is a very significant problem, that there is no room for criticizing China. That's most particularly the case for people and companies that rely on China for their income. Certainly, we've had a discussion in our family about how scorched earth to go on China, and that is one of the things that I've been considering in trying to finish off my book. That could very easily endanger Mrs. Tracy's business. And these are relevant considerations for everybody. There is this creeping censorship, whether it is from the nanny state, whether it is from the search engines and social media companies that are trying at least to avoid being overtly regulated, and then you have China as well. This creeping censorship is, I think, a very significant factor in the markets. And it is, I think, something that is going to weigh on sentiment. Now, when we think about how are the currency markets responding to this slowdown, well, the pound today was down 74 ticks, despite the fact that producer prices were lower. In here in the US, the euro was pulling back from the 110 area in here today. There is a rivetingly consistent sequence of lower rally highs. And however the potential weakness looks for the US markets, it's even worse for everywhere else. And part of the reason for that is because China is probably slowing more than the US market is. And I think there is zero potential for the Chinese renminbi to trade stronger than 7 anytime soon. When we think about what's going on in terms of the wider bond markets and the pricing in of a deflationary outcome by the bond markets, and the ignoring of that fact by the equity markets, we're at important areas of potential support for a significant number of these stock market indices, whether that is Wall Street, or whether it is Europe, or indeed the FTSE 100. I've been clearly stating that the FTSE 100 is trading at a significant valuation discount compared to developed Europe, but some of the uncertainties that are plaguing the UK economy are going to have to be resolved before I think international investors are going to support the market with sufficient funds to turn the trend around. The A-share index, or Chinese stock markets generally, opened up today after the Mid-Autumn Festival Golden Week holiday, and it was in mildly positive territory. The index is right in the region of the trend mean. A number of investors have been pointing out that China's markets are trading at reasonable levels. But that has also been the case for Russia for a really quite a lengthy period. Now, that isn't to say that the market hasn't doubled since 2016, but it is worth considering that the PE is trading at 5. Well, Russia has got obviously a valuation discount because of the political risk, because of the governance risk. And one has to question, why doesn't China deserve the same risk? There is the clear potential of misappropriation of funds, or total appropriation of funds. And the distinct absence of governance is a very significant factor. When we then think about what is likely, or what has been doing better, the consumer staples sector has been leading on the upside, and it was in negative territory in here today. There is the potential that we're going to get some pause and consolidation. Bond proxies like consumer staples had been doing well, and utilities are really quite overextended relative to the trend mean and susceptible to some pause and consolidation in here. If we are going to continue to see the ratcheting up of trade conflicts, then that is going to sap demand. That's going to sap sentiment. And the most important thing to bear in mind is that there is still a great deal of uncertainty about what is the eventual outcome of these negotiations. There has been a willingness by investors to be reasonably sanguine about the outlook. But if the US economy slows, much less if it goes into recession, then sentiment is likely to turn around really rather quickly. I do continue to think that China, however, is the epicenter of risk, and the increasing sensitivity to any kind of criticism is so defensive in nature that it almost begs the question, what have they got to hide? So I do think that this is a rather delicate environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.